Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
And this week is Maternal Mental Health Week. And while many of us may be familiar with the term postnatal depression, mental health issues can be much more complex and varied in the weeks and months after giving birth. And here to share her story is Julie O'Sullivan, and along with her, consultant perinatal psychiatrist at the Coombe Hospital, Dr. Joanne Fenton. And you're both so welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Julie, I'm going to start with you because you very bravely offered to tell us your story. So we'll go back to your first child 4 years ago. And as I'm saying that, I'm conscious that you have a 4 month old at home, but we're going to go back to baby number one. Mm-hmm. What happened when your little girl was just shy of 2 weeks old?
Yes. She was the most wanted baby ever. I was on cloud nine for the first 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks. Day 13, I wake up and I'm a completely different person. Just woke up every morning, absolutely my entire body riddled with fear. And it wouldn't even necessarily have been preceded by a thought. Sick to my stomach all day and just could not sleep at all, like ever, and could not eat. Didn't know. This was not me at all. Very laid back person, very laid back mom now. Then one night when she was 5 weeks old, I was feeding her in the middle of the night. And that was, I loved that time, you know, that closeness. And I wasn't even thinking anything. And my whole body went into convulsions. My teeth started chattering. I was sick and I thought I was going to die, basically.
Well, this is 3 weeks now of these symptoms. So you must have been terrified and really on the edge.
I was terrified. I had no idea what was going on. At that point, you know, some people say to me, weren't you great to ask for help? I had no choice but to ask for help. I called the ward where I had delivered the next day crying. Long story short, ended up going into emergency in the Coombe, and they hospitalised me with my baby, thankfully, for 9 days. And when I was released, then it took another 3 months, but it was the most debilitating, isolating. I genuinely believed that she'd be better off without me, and that I was a terrible mum, that social services were going to come and take her. I felt sick from morning until night. Mm-hmm. And I was riddled with intrusive thoughts and fear. And sometimes I didn't even know what the fear was. It felt like, the best way I can describe it is, it felt like I was about to be hit by a double-decker bus every 30 seconds.
So when you were admitted to hospital, how did you feel? Did you feel relieved then, or did you still feel very worried?
I when I was in the hospital, I still felt the same. And I remember saying, oh, you should see me in the morning, because sometimes I might get a slight reprieve. And I remember saying to Joanne, my psychiatrist, come in, you should see me at 7 in the morning. And she did actually come into the hospital at 7 in the morning one day and saw it. What helped was I got a little bit of sleep, because the nurses would take the nurses in the Coombe were amazing, took the baby at night. But I was happy to have a diagnosis. You know, they say, name your demon and you tame it. I was happy to know that I wasn't going crazy, that this was a hormonally driven illness. I had no history of mental health issues.
So then when you were discharged from hospital, you went home, then you said you had another couple of months then. And then did things return to as normal as they can be with a new baby?
I was completely out of it after a couple of months. Not only was I back to myself, but I found so much joy in my maternity leave, because I was like going to the coffee shop, going for a walk. For me, it was so filled with joy because I didn't have this other darkness hanging over me. So I really enjoyed my maternity leave before I went back to work.
But then we come to baby number two. And yes. What happened?
Baby number two, I kind of decided, I spent 2 years thinking about whether or not to go ahead for baby number two. And there was lots of factors, you know, but one of the factors was, am I going to get this thing again? And I talked to Joanne, my the perinatal psychiatrist and my consultant. And, you know, Joanne knew me well at this stage. And you know, the consensus was, and, you know, you were kind of unlucky to get that the last time because you've no history, it was hormonally driven, and, you know, it's unlikely that you'll get it again. So I had my beautiful daughter 4 months ago, second daughter, and again, on cloud nine, 2 weeks later, again, it was day 13, I woke up and I said, oh my God.
Same thing again.
And I was actually devastated because I knew what was ahead of me, and I got straight on to the coom. I got straight on to my...
So there was no waiting for 3 weeks this time.
Oh, at this time I was like, no, I'm not waiting. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was worse this time as well. I'm only actually have come out of it in the last 2 to 3 weeks. I'm back to myself now. Mm-hmm. Thank God. I'm so grateful to be able to be here to talk about it.
And you do feel back to yourself now.
I feel back to myself now. And I mean, it was never about the kids. You know what I mean? I was always putting on the brave face for them. I remember reading a book to my daughter, even like in the last couple of months at bedtime for my four-year-old, trying to sound happy and trying to fight back the tears. And I also remember only about 3 weeks ago, plaiting my daughter's hair in the morning and singing with her and the four-month-old laughing and us all having great fun. And at the back of my mind, another voice was saying, get everything in order for the girls so that you can leave the earth if you need to.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, it's so difficult. And I'm just thinking about what that is like as you're there with your children. It's terrifying, right?
It's awful.
Frightening.
It's awful. And it's draining trying to put on a brave face for them, which I always did, you know, because it was never about them. It was a separate thing.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have done it without the support of my beautiful family and friends, to be honest. I couldn't have got through it.
Welcome back to Yeah, That's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home.
Oh,
how tender. That's a Pepper Thing. And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing. Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing.
And Joanne, of course, as well, who you mentioned, Dr. Joanne Fenton, who is with us, and it's great to have you here. How common is this?
It's more common than we actually think. Postnatal anxiety can occur in one in five pregnancies or in moms. Mm-hmm. So it's more common.
Is it just as we've had described to us? Is that normally how it would present after a couple of weeks?
Well, Julie describes this really well, but she talks about kind of 2 weeks or day 13 when her symptoms occurred. Normally it occurs 4 to 6 weeks post-delivery. So Julie's anxiety was slightly earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But the symptoms of dread, hopelessness, fear, being hit by a bus, intrusive thoughts. And also you can have thoughts of harm coming to your new baby or you harming your baby yourself. And that's really, really scary for moms because they just, as Julie said, it comes out of the blue and you may have no history of it at all. Now, there are some women that may have a history of mental health difficulties prior to any pregnancy and they would be at a greater risk. Or if there's a family history of anxiety or low mood, those mums are at a greater risk. But also it can occur de novo with no reason at all.
So no cause for those symptoms. No uniform cause.
No uniform cause. But Julie mentions the hormonal shift. And so in pregnancy, your estrogen and progesterone are very, very high. And then post-delivery, they go shooting down. And it's just, there's a thought that that hormonal change can have an impact on depression and anxiety postpartum.
So what is the treatment then for postnatal anxiety?
Well, I think one of the most important things, and Julie mentioned that, and I think that's one of the reasons why she's here, is to increase awareness and to share those negative thoughts, because people feel that if they say that they're feeling anxious or they have a low mood, that their child is going to be taken away from them. And it's really scary even to verbalize that. So the first thing is to seek help. And the first port of call would be through the public health nurse and your GP, and they can be really helpful in moving on. And then the GP will make a decision whether you need to be referred to a perinatal psychiatry service. And there are large teams in the big hospitals throughout the country. And then there are smaller teams in the smaller hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lucky to work with a large multidisciplinary team of consultant psychiatrists, psychologists, occupational therapists, mental health midwives, mental health nurses and social workers. And they all provide an array of different skills to support the mum. So it's not all about medication. First, it's an awareness of what's going on, seeking help, and then meeting with the various team members to support. Mm-hmm.
And in your experience, is it something that's likely to resolve itself then if you get the right supports in place?
Yes, absolutely.
Which is the hope, which is why really we need to talk about it more, so that people don't feel alone and don't feel that they have failed and all of the feelings of shame around it. It can be helped, it can be fixed.
It can be helped and it can be fixed. And the sooner you seek help, the sooner you'll feel better. And also it's important to remember that if you seek help and you're feeling a little bit better, you can have 3 or 4 days where you feel, oh, it's lifted, it's completely gone, and then it'll come back. So it's like a staircase. So you go up 3 steps and then down 2 and then up 4 steps and then down 1. And then you go up 5 steps and kind of stay there, and then 6, 7, 8, and you continue to improve. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of hard initially in the early days.
Did you find that, Julie, that you were improving and you felt you were all fixed and then little drift back?
I was in the Coombe 3 weeks ago and I was saying to Joanne, oh, I'm fully better, it's amazing. And she was like, you're probably 75% the way there. 3 days later, I felt like I was back at square one. Mm-hmm. But now I have a sustained period of 2 weeks where I feel better. When you're in it, you think it's not an illness. You think it's you and you think it will never end. It will end. It's not you.
And why is it that you felt that it was important for you to speak out? What's motivating you to be here?
I'm actually a very private person, but when it comes to this, I tell everybody I meet, because it was so horrendous that I just feel it's important. If I have any opportunity to talk about it, I will, because I know plenty of mums who have gone through postnatal depression or anxiety or whatever and hidden it and just don't talk about it because they feel that it's a reflection on them as a mother. It absolutely isn't. And that's why I wanted to talk about it, because I want people to know that it's not normal to struggle every day like that, to not sleep, to not eat, to be in constant fight or flight mode, mm-hmm. sick to your core. It's not normal. Seek help.
Yeah. And if people knew that, Joanne, the early intervention would happen, you know, before people get to a very critical stage where they need to be hospitalised. You know, if we were willing to talk about it at an earlier period, those interventions would come, you know, at a lower level, wouldn't they?
Absolutely. And it's really important, even in pregnancy. So 50% of postnatal depression and anxiety has actually occurred in the pregnancy itself, but it just hasn't been picked up. So early identification is really important, and referrals while mums are pregnant will help prevent and reduce the, I suppose, the severity of the illness. Mm-hmm.
Because you are asked in pregnancy in this country, aren't you? How are you feeling? How are you coping? But sometimes you don't know how to answer those questions, because none of it is normal, because, well, I'm pregnant, so I feel different.
Yes. And sometimes people don't recognise what the symptoms are. But it's important, if it becomes intrusive and intense and there's no let up, then you need to kind of say, there's something going on here, and to share it even with a friend or family member for then onward referral. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, Julie, that people don't know how to answer those questions?
To be honest with you, I think it's can often be a bit of a tick the box exercise. Yeah. Have you ever felt this? Have you ever felt that? You know, really quick, kind of get it out of the way. The GP that I went to after my first round of this dismissed it completely. Oh, you'll be fine. That's just baby blues. And I went back about 3 times to that same GP before I ever, you know, called the Coombe, and was completely, you'd be fine. Just give it another 6 weeks or give it another 3 weeks. So it's not normal to feel miserable and struggle every day. Baby blues, yes, most people get those.
Do they?
This is different.
Joanne?
Yeah, up to 80% of people will have baby blues in the first 5 to 7 days, where they'll have mood lability, cheerfulness, then they're happy, then they're sad, sleep deprived, and it all settles.
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about today.
No, not at all. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, and you're doing well, which is great, to hear. And I hope that it continues. And you're great to talk to us, Julie. I really appreciate it. And the best of luck with you with your busy house now, with your two children.
Much.
That's Julie O'Sullivan and Dr. Joanne Fenton. And we should mention again that Maternal Mental Health Week is happening between the 4th and the 10th. So from today right through to the 10th. And there'll be lots of information available, Joanne, I'm sure, for people who have questions.
Absolutely. There'll be information, there'll be articles, there's a media presence. And it's just to promote and highlight our new mums and to mind them.
Thank you so much for coming in. That's Dr. Joanne Fenton and Julie.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.